This is something I've been looking forward to for a long time. People who've listened to our show for however many years you've been doing it know that I have been a very big supporter and very big fan of Montreal radio personality Mitch Melnick, and we welcome Mitch Melnick into the studio today. Thanks for coming in, Mitch.
Thank you, Sheldon. Bill, thanks very much.
We've been fans of radio for a long time. We're very critical of radio, particularly I am in the Montreal radio scene, very, very upset with the lack of choice and whatever that we have here, and sort of lack of creativity. And I think what turned me on to your broadcasting over the past few years was the sort of the free-formness of the radio. And you became, in my opinion at least, more of a personality on the radio, the way it used to be. People used to tune into the radio to hear a person on the radio, and then sort of what they were doing on the radio was kind of secondary almost. The name was the draw. And that's sort of something that has been kind of fading away a little bit in radio, and that's what I found was different about what you were doing at CIQC in particular. But now you're at CJD once again, and have a daily show on weekdays called The Game. For listeners that maybe don't know what that is, maybe you can start off by telling us a little bit about that show.
Well, we were all waiting for the baseball rights issue to be settled, and a lot of us were expecting and hoping that CJD would carry the games after CIQC decided not to pick up the final year of the contract, basically drop it in mid-contract. And we know what happened on the radio issue. So a lot of us were kind of waiting, and I was hoping to do some kind of post-game show coming out of broadcast, maybe some other work involved in the broadcast. And it was getting quite apparent that as a lot of us were normally making plans for spring training, that once you went into the spring with no broadcast deal, the chances were pretty good there wasn't going to be any baseball on the radio in English anyways. And we know what happened in French at the last minute on opening day. They finally reached an agreement. So I had to work. Like a lot of us at CIQC, when it switched formats, I've been out since December 9th. And in addition to climbing the wall, creatively speaking, and not doing anything, I also needed a paycheck.
Exactly.
And so we spoke, Rick Moffitt and Ted Blackman and Rob Braid, and I sat down with Rob Braid one afternoon, and we decided to do something at some point, and it was initially supposed to be a Saturday evening, 7 to 8. They wanted a sports presence there, bridging the gap between the hockey seasons because of the pregame show on Saturday nights. And I thanked them, and I said, but I need more than that. So eventually we worked out a deal where I would do 10 to 11. They were previously broadcasting the best of CJD, I think it was.
Right.
And so that's where I've been since May 15th. And obviously hope that it grows a little more than 1 hour. It's sports talk, hardcore, back to what I was doing before we switched formats at CIQC. And it's 1 hour, it moves real quick. And so just when you feel like you're getting some kind of rhythm, it's over and you got to wait for the next day.
Yeah, I've been listening particularly the last week, knowing that you were coming in today, just to get more of a feel of the show. One thing, both Bill and myself, neither of us are really big sports fans. I mean, other than my addiction to NFL, I'm a big NFL fan. But the rest of it, I'm not really a big sports fan.
Neither am I.
Well, there you go.
and I never know it.
Well,
no, just kidding.
Yeah. But no, it's interesting that you bring that up, though, because I always found, particularly your No Limits show at CIQC, was much more than sports. And I remember you saying on numerous occasions, if it's a quiet sports day, I can't talk 3 hours of sports when nothing's going on. And I think that's where the program began to evolve. And
well, there were a lot of reasons. Number one was probably my own boredom. Every 5 or 6 years, I just get whatever I'm doing, I've got to try to do something else. That's just in me, and it's been a pattern since I started, so I don't fight it. And in CIQC's case, I mean, it's very difficult to do 3 hours. It also came at a time when a lot of stations in the United States and a couple in Canada went all sports. So before, if you called, for example, a newsmaker in sports, he'd call you back immediately. You'd be on the air. You'd set it up. Now, and in the last 5 to 6 years, if you made contact with somebody, you'd be maybe the 18th pink slip on somebody's desk.
Oh.
And so you're basically competing for the same guests, and it was very difficult to do that without a full-time producer. And it was just me droning on and regular callers and me about the same issues, and it was very difficult for me to keep my interest, and it was obviously difficult based on the ratings for the listeners to keep their interest. And, you know, CITC made a pretty good investment, a significant investment when they brought Joe Cannon and I over there, and I felt that I owed them more, and I try, you know, each ratings would come out, and there'd be a little bit of a gain, and there'd be a drop, there'd be a gain, and we were just spinning our wheels. And finally, I think it reached the point where they understood that we had to grow beyond the hardcore sports fan. And they most of the people at the station, in all honesty, fought it. The sales department hated the idea because they were selling Mitch Melnick sports. That's mm-hmm. what they were doing. And some clients dropped out, but we started to, and Pat Caporelli was my producer, full-time producer, and she was doing an incredible job lining people up and bringing new ideas and new concepts to the show. And there was one book that we had prior to the ice storm where our males, 25:54 at 5:15 in the afternoon, we had more than Jim had on CJD.
Wow.
And that was a very significant movement to me. And I don't say everybody, but, you know, there were people around the radio stations shaking their heads, saying, look, it's not going to last. And this is a kind of a fluky thing. People are, you've piqued the interest of a lot of people because you're doing something different, but it's not going to last long term. And I suppose they were right. But we tried. You know, we tried to shake things up a little bit.
Well, if it didn't last long, it wasn't necessarily your fault. I mean, the station decided to go over to this all-news format eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
which led to some of the most interesting listening I've ever had in radio those last few months when you and Duff and some of the other people on CIQC had the chance to vent your spleen at management.
Well, the thing about that, Bill, is that I think we could all swallow and accept the format change, even if we weren't involved. I, for the life of me, still can't believe that a station would want to go all news and not have one of the biggest news junkies in the city, Duff, be a part of it somehow, on air, off air, whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense to me. But it was the manner in which it was done. You know, CITC was very good to me. They allowed me the freedom eventually to do what I wanted to do. I was probably the luckiest guy in radio in North America for a couple of years.
Exactly.
I know that. But switching formats is one thing. It's not telling the people who were on the air. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were finding out from other people that we were going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Before we heard anything. And it took an outrageous outburst on the air when we were knocked off the air but still on cable, for them to sit me down and say, you know, this is ridiculous. How could you say that? I said, well, you tell me straight now what's going on here. And that was not until that point did they tell us that we were not going to be part of any all-news format, because initially they talked to me about doing some sports and Elliott Price doing some sports, and they were going to keep the sports presence. And, you know, again, if they would have just come out and said, we're going all news, we can't afford the people that we have here right now, and so, you know, in a couple of months, be prepared. This is what your show is going to end, and, you know, thanks for the 7 years. We got none of that.
Hmm.
Nothing. No warning. You know, just it wasn't professionally done. So if it wasn't professionally handled, I suppose that seeped out onto the air.
Well, you see that in a lot of commercial radio, though, today. There's sites like Radio Digest and that, where we used to read a lot of stuff about what was going on in commercial markets across North America. These kind of strange goings-on in commercial radio are not all that odd, it seems. Maybe it was odd for you or something different for you here in Montreal, but this sort of thing goes on a lot.
I think it's stretched out more here.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
So I don't think it's too much to just ask people, especially those who have been in radio for many years. You know, mm-hmm. if you count Duff and Elliott Price and myself and Chuck Phillips, you count all the years up in radio, it's pretty significant.
Yeah.
You know, just be straight.
Exactly.
And we've all been through, you know, management shifts and looking for jobs before. We've all been through it. Just be straight. And they weren't. And the longer it went, the more frustrated and the angrier we got. And that came out on the air. You should never allow people. If you've made a decision to fire somebody, you should not have that person on the air.
Exactly. Yeah, that's, you know, you don't put that guy in front of a live mic. But I thought it was truly unique, though, in those last few weeks and whatever at CIQC.
It was great radio, didn't it?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder, you know, why can't it be like that other times? You know, why doesn't anybody seem to want to take a chance like that and kind of wing it?
Well, because, you know, consultants say that you've got to stick to the format. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I grew up at a time, I'm sure you guys are the same way, when Shom was just starting. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what made Shom.
Yeah.
And you never knew when Jeff Sterling was going to walk in the middle of the night and chant Om.
Right.
You never knew how many joints the on-air DJ would have
saved. Dave Patrick. Was sure. My, you know, you talked about personalities before. The first voice I heard on the radio, in addition to Danny Gallivan.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said Danny Gallivan and Bob Dylan changed my life. Those are the two voices that really changed my life. It was Dave Boxer,
mm-hmm.
and later on Dave Patrick. You know, yeah. I couldn't wait to hear Dave Patrick. I first heard him, I think, in the evenings on CFCF.
Right.
And he was playing a 7-minute Dylan song, Black Diamond Bay. And I just flipped out. This was on AM radio. I mean, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And I just followed him wherever he went.
It's funny you mentioned Shom. I think my biggest influence off of radio in this city was a guy named Doug Pringle.
Sure.
When he started CKGM-FM, and they started going from that elevator music at midnight, they'd suddenly switch over and you heard Zeppelin coming out of the radio and stuff. It was like, wow, what is going on here? And that... Him alone, I think he introduced me to so much, you know, a broader scope of music, because he could do basically what he wanted on that show. And that, I think, was what I found when I went to your show on CIQC, was that you were introducing people to a lot of different things. A new artist that I heard a couple that you're bringing into Montreal, actually, Jimmy Lefebvre, for one, who I'd never heard of in my life. And that's what I really appreciated, was that there was somebody out there saying, hey, you know, I maybe know something that the rest of you guys don't know, and this is what I like, and I'm going to put it on the radio.
Well, it was more that he's just such an immense talent,
mm-hmm.
and I remember hearing I actually got a note from somebody in New York saying there's this female singer down here. She doesn't have an album yet, but she's as close to Janis Joplin as I've ever heard. And you hear that, you know, it's easy to compare people. And it was Joan Osborne. And I got a copy the day it came out, and I played Joan Osborne on the air simply because I felt that this sound should be heard. And, of course, a year and a half later, If God Was One of Us was finally on the playlist of FM radio stations.
Right.
But in the case of Jimmy Lefebvre, it's unfair that a lot of great artists don't get played on the radio because they don't fit a particular format and they can't be pigeonholed and they won't. And in Jimmy's case, he's got such integrity. He's turned down major record label deals. He wants to do it his way. And I admire people who are honest and real. And any way I could help them out, whether I'm involved in a show or not, I was playing his music long before I got in promoting. And I felt that there's a pocket of people. How big or small it is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Are we so far out of the mainstream? I don't know. People said, yeah, why do you play Dylan so much? And I was waving the Time Out of Mind CD. I said, this is the album of the year. And how much more mainstream can you get than winning a Grammy for the album of the year? So there's people out there who do like it, but I don't think they've been exposed to it enough. I think people have been brainwashed into just, you know, accepting what's thrown at and throwing up their arms and say, well, that's basically it. Let's just...
Well, there's a classic example in the Gazette this morning. There's a big feature article about Neil Young and his new concert tour coming. He's not going to play Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
The reason? Nobody plays his music on the radio here. We don't have a classic rock radio station to begin with. So if it doesn't get out on the radio, then, you know, all the Neil Young fans here in Montreal are going to have to pack up and head down to Toronto if they want to see his show.
I've done that. I have followed music. That's why we're getting to promoting now. We're tired of just hitting the road to seeing the artists that we want to see. We want to bring them here and see how many people are in the same boat that we are. And
yeah.
Yeah, the radio situation is you know, for a rock and roll fan, it's pretty lame. I mean, that's... But again, they're driven by profit, and it's the whole world is like that now in every department. I mean, let's face it, it's the bottom line, and nobody's going to take a risk if their butt's on the line, and then they come back and say the balance isn't right, and we're losing money, and that's it. It's just, it's unfortunate. It's the world we're living in, and it affects everything.
I'm going to play a little piece of a tape here from your last show on CIQC, and this, I think, kind of sums it up. It was the second to last caller on the show, and this lady called in, and she was... You could really tell she was upset that the show was disappearing, and I think this was a prime example of what your show meant to people, regular fans, regardless of how many of them there were, the numbers, you know, besides the point. Let's listen to this tape for a second here.
Hi, Hi.
Barbara, you're on.
Oh, my God.
Quick.
Mitch.
Quick.
No, not that quick. Yeah. I have so much to say.
Yeah, but we only have so much time.
Okay. I want to thank Pat and Kathy. They're both very, they've been role models for me because I do work on TKUT and they've been role models. Scott, I thank you for your eccentricity. I thank your wife beyond your years. I thank for all. Thank you for all the wisdom that you've shared. Terry, you're so philosophical. How can we do without you? With your, I just love it. You're kind, and your total love of baseball is. It's so special to me. And Mitch, last and not least, thank you for Bill Lee and Bob Dylan. You've introduced me to both of those. Thank you for your consummate professionalism.
Thank you, Barbara.
Oh, no, Mitch, I've got to say that I have to say that your quest for perfection was not... I understood that, and I think people understand that, and I think that we thank you for that, and you are a true radio personality, and you, thank God you're staying in Montreal. I want to say to people that the team is going to be moving somewhere, and the radio station, the radio play will be moving, and we will all call to get Mitch and Terry and Pat and Kathy. And, well, Scott's gone, but we'll all call to get you there.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you
very much for everything
you're
doing.
I love you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Bye.
So 27 after 7, I apologize to those we're not going to be able to get.
There we go.
That's a bootleg copy of my show.
That's right.
To do that,
and we're allowed to do that on this.
Oh, you are allowed. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that very much.
That really summed it up to me. I sat listening to that last show, and I have that whole last show on tape, and I think I've listened to it about 5 or 6 times, and I think you know I couldn't call in to that last show. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. That call I just found so moving, and I think a lot of people that listened to your show felt exactly the same way.
Well, I appreciate very much the term that Barbara used, the quest for perfection. Sometimes you figure you're banging your head against the wall if anybody cares or anybody notices, and as long as you know whatever the BBM may say, if you reach people, that's all you can hope for when you're in radio. It doesn't matter how many, as long as you know that you've reached somebody and touched somebody in some way. And I'm happy to report that Terry Haig just finished up a role in the Eddie Murphy movie shooting in Montreal.
Indeed, yeah, I was surprised when I found that out.
Right, and he's got another role as a result of that performance coming up in another movie shooting in Montreal. Scott Saxon writes for the Mirror every week. Mm-hmm. You see his sardonic wit in the Mirror. Caporelli, you know about Pat on Channel 12. And Kathy Newton is signing up to do a sports management course this fall.
Wow.
So we may all be working for her eventually. So the gang is still around, and it was a fun time. I'm glad I had the experience, and I know there's some people over at 940 who think I'm very bitter. Mm-hmm. About it. I'm not at all bitter. I was angry when it happened, how it happened, how it was handled. And it's a learning experience, because anybody who aspires to do anything in radio from a management level, I think you learn more of what not to do. Mm-hmm. If you've been in radio for 20 years, you pick up, you're like a sponge, and you take the best of ideas, but you also learn what not to do. So they taught me what not to do, how not to handle people in a situation. So it was a blast, and I'm glad that you noticed.
Oh, I certainly did, and I kept telling Bill to, give it a listen.
Yeah.
It was much more than sports. I listened to Tony Kornheiser on ESPN. I don't know if you listened
sure.
to him, but I noticed the same sort of thing with him. It's a gang of people. They sit around. If there's no sports going on, they'll find something else to do, and I find that very entertaining, and I think it's a little bit of what I was getting from your show before that I'm finding there.
Well, it's refreshing because there's no script.
That's
it. I don't work with a script. I never have worked with a script. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can't talk, then you don't belong in front of a microphone. If you can't talk without a script, then, go do something else.
Exactly.
It's conversation. It's dialogue. It's spontaneous. And sometimes it doesn't work, but I'd rather hear somebody make an attempt to do something different and fall flat on his or her face than not to make any attempt at all.
Exactly.
You got to take some chances once in a while. And at least CKUT exists.
That's right.
Right. I mean, that's...
We couldn't be doing what we're doing here today on a commercial radio station in Montreal, that's for sure. It just doesn't happen. Anyways, we want to encourage people to tune in, listen to your show, The Game, on
CJ. Well, I'm going to Trombla now that I heard the long-range weather forecast for the week. It sounds pretty good for some sunshine, at least.
Right.
So I won't be, Barry Morgan and others will be sitting in next week.
Okay.
And then when we come back on the 28th, we may have something to tell you.
Well, that's good. Let's hope it's positive. I think it will be. And so tune into the show. It's weeknights 10 until 11. And is there a Saturday version?
Saturday
still?
Saturday 8 still.
Yep. Okay, great. Thanks for being with us here this morning. I appreciate you coming down on Sunday morning.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation, and thanks for your support through the years.
No problem at all.